clean airplanes fly faster. In this case, we're talking soap and water clean. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot and the proprietor of Bob Miller Flight Training at the Buffalo Lancaster Airport in Western New York. Bob, we appreciate your being here.
As always, Paul, it's my pleasure.
You had a topic in your current edition of the newsletter called Keep It Clean to Go Fast. Tell us why that's important this time of year and what you're talking about.
Well, you know, I happen to run across pictures or photographs that I published in the newsletter this month showing the surface of a wing coming out of the factory, and on the to the naked eye looking at the wing, it looks nice and smooth and shiny and clean. But when you look at it through a microscope, you see lots of grooves, nicks, and imperfections in the surface. This is something that we really can't do too much about. But when we add to that basic contamination to the wing, whether it be frost, and most of us understand the absolute disastrous results that can come from taking off, for example, with frost on the wing or ice on the wing. But even this time of the year, as the airplane is coming out of the hangar, it's covered with dust, and you can see dust. And this will have a measurable effect on the speed of the airplane. We talk about clean airplanes, freshly washed airplanes going faster. They do go faster. Not only do they go faster, they're more efficient, certainly in fuel burn and in gallons per mile. So I guess the point I was making is washing your airplane is more than a vanity. It will, in fact, increase performance.
Well, and one of the things that that an instructor really kind of drilled into me when I was being checked out to rent a DA-20 that a particular FBO had on the flight line was that it's not just speed. It's not just fuel burn, which may be negligible to measure, but stall speed, which on some aircraft is kind of a critical consideration, especially some of the more aerodynamic ones, goes up if the leading edges of the wings get dirty.
No question about that. Any imperfection, any design flaw, whether we create it or it's engineered in, will have an effect on stall speed. Certainly we know that with icing, and that's perhaps the most significant of all forms of airframe contamination. But you're right, dust, dirt, dents in the wing, unresolved dents, and we get hangar rash, and we think, well, this will have, you know, just a negligible effect on speed, but it will have effect on stall speed. You're right.
Now, in terms of cleaning an airplane, how far do we go? Is this like washing a car? I mean, it's aluminum, obviously, so we don't have to worry about it getting wet, but
there's a number of products on the market today that are dry washes. Just come out of a spray bottle. It's a solution of soap and water and some surfactants that enable us to spray it on, get the surface wet or damp, and then just wipe it off, and it comes off clean, eliminating the need for the bucket of soapy water and a sponge. You can do that, or if you're at a location where you have warm soapy water, great, use it. A couple of cautionary notes. Certainly when you're using high-pressure washers or even hoses with nozzles on them, be careful of that static port, because water gets inside the plumbing there, and it can find its way all the way to the instruments. Those kinds of things. If we cover those ports up with some masking tape, that's okay, too. Remember to take the masking tape off when finished. But, I don't quickly throw $15 or $20 at an inexperienced line boy and say, hey, wash my airplane. I don't do that, because they can get the wrong solution on the glass, or they can use the wrong materials on the plexiglass and do me a lot of harm. They can use the wrong solutions and actually damage the paint if they're caustic or not appropriate for aluminum. So every proficient pilot should go out there and do a little bit of reading on, the proper way of washing an airplane, or go out and see somebody that's experienced, particularly the person who owns that real beauty that attracts a lot of attention out there on the flight line. Somebody who knows how to take care of the airplane, their wisdom can be quickly shared and brought back, even to those of us who have older airplanes that need a little bit of tender, loving care.
You know, this is the time of year, Bob, when a lot of people are wheeling their aircraft out of hangars after winter storage and maybe have a coating of dust on them. I feel compelled to mention, too, that we are in a time of year when You know, when flying insects are, you know, swarming and nesting, and when certain, you know, birds are building nests and so forth. And this isn't just an issue pulling it out of the hangar or for airplanes that aren't hangared. I've seen this happen where a bird's nest was built in an airplane that was in a hangar all winter long. You'd be surprised where they can get to.
Sure. And just remember, bird droppings in a hangar where they're nesting above the aircraft, you know, that's an acid in that dropping that they're leaving that can actually damage the paint. So we want to be sure to get that taken care of as well. Any contamination on an airplane is something that we should work hard to remove.
We'll come back in a moment after the break, Bob. Let's talk about your writings about an airspeed indicator as a lifeline in over-the-air waves. My guest is Bob Miller. Back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the AeroNews special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves with our weekly safety issues discussion. And Bob, you wrote in the current edition of Over the Airwaves, the May issue, about airspeed indicator, the airman's lifeline. Is this a commonly overlooked thing? Do people fly with bad airspeed indicators, or were you more getting at including it in your scan as an important issue?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't thinking about bad airspeed indicators so much as you said, just simply not referencing the airspeed indicator. As every instrument student knows, the airspeed indicator is the primary instrument that the pilot should be using for controlling the climb out of an airplane from a runway. The airspeed indicator will tell us whether the airplane is climbing at an angle steep enough to clear the obstacles. And I referenced a very sad fatal accident that took place a while back where, according to the NTSB report, they blamed the pilot's failure to maintain clearance from a utility pole, contributing to the accident with a fog and haze. And here, the individual just simply used his own body senses to assess whether or not he felt that he was climbing steep enough to clear the obstacles. In fact, he wasn't climbing at all. And had he used his airspeed indicator, he would, as a measure of his climb speed, he would have known that he wasn't climbing at a suitable case. There is a classic tragic Northwest Airlines crash that took place back in the 1970s, and I know about this case simply because it was a charter flight out of the New York area to pick up our own Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Boeing 727 that took off in the night IFR conditions, and what had happened was the pitot tube had frosted over. It had actually iced over. And when a pitot tube is completely covered over, it begins to act like an altimeter. In other words, the higher we go, the airspeed indicator indicates a higher speed.
Mm-hmm.
So as this airplane was climbing into night IFR conditions, the captain, according to the cockpit voice recording, noted that their airspeed was increasing. So he called for steeper pitch to his FO, his first officer. So the first officer added pitch. And as they continued to climb, airspeed continued to build. And the captain called for more pitch, airspeed continued to climb because the airspeed indicator in this case was reacting to a changing atmospheric pressure. Ultimately, the 727 went into a stall spin and three crew members lost their lives that night. All because here was a case where the captain was using the airspeed indicator as his primary climb instrument, But in that case, it wasn't functioning properly simply because of the ice on the pitot tube.
Well, and you had a tragic and highly publicized incident just a few months ago in Buffalo where Continental Connection Flight 3407 was obviously somebody was not paying attention to the airspeed indicator.
Airspeed. You know, airspeed, more power, more speed, more lift. So we have a power indicator, which is in most cases, our tachometer or manifold gauge, and then we have airspeed. We've got to have power. Airspeed translates to lift. Less power, less speed, less lift. We can also control speed, however, without power, and we do that with pitch. But the common denominator in both of those scenarios is airspeed. So when airspeed decays, then lift decays, and that was a factor in 3407. Why was the airplane allowed to slow to such a slow stall speed that the stick shaker automatically fired? Wasn't the crew, in fact, paying attention to the airspeed indicator? You know, we don't know the answer to that yet. Hopefully we will someday.
Now, this is, you mentioned the connection to some accidents as aircraft enter IMC. Is this as big a problem in VFR conditions?
In VFR conditions, I don't think it's nearly the problem because we have the ability to look out the window. And we can get a sense as to whether or not we're climbing. I mean, we can see the angle of our wing to the horizon. But it's in IMC conditions where we do not have the ability to look out the window and see the angle of our wing to the horizon. We have no sense as to what's happening. In fact, we have some illusions that can take place when we begin to add power suddenly in IMC conditions. Just accelerating gives us a sense that we're pitching up. So if we have that sense that we're pitching up and we're really not pitching up, we may be inclined to push forward on the stick simply because of that illusion that's being created. So we need to have our eyes glued on that airspeed indicator. One recommendation that I keep selling but nobody seems to want to buy is there any way that we could put a low airspeed warning device on the panel, an annunciator, that we could set? So that we're in cruise flight, let's say in a Cessna 172, and we should be traveling along in straight and level flight at, say, 114 knots indicated. What happens if, for some reason, the airspeed drops down to 86? It's still well above stall speed, but what if the pilot didn't notice it because he is cruising along in IMC conditions? And the only thing that might cause that reduction in airspeed would likely be a buildup of airframe icing. There's no warning device. The only warning we get of a pending disaster in that regard is the stall indicator. Well, my goodness, by the time the stall indicator goes off or the stick shaker is activated, we're already at the edge of the envelope. You know, I think I'd like to see something enunciated at a much higher speed.
It's like if your oil pressure light comes on the dashboard of your car, by the time you pull over, it's probably too late. Same kind of deal.
Yeah. We need to enunciate parameters. I know on the JPI 700, the multi-engine analyzer that's been around for a number of years now, we can set parameters on that to tell us at any point if the cylinder head temperature rises above some predetermined level. It'll enunciate. If the EGTs, exhaust gas temperatures, go up above a certain point, it will enunciate. And we can set those limits. I think it would be most helpful if we could set some sort of an enunciation on the airspeed indicator that if we drop below a certain speed, and we can set that speed, whatever it is we want to set, it would enunciate far sooner or far earlier than a point where we actually get a stall indicator.
Well, Bob, as always, thought-provoking stuff, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Paul.
You can read Bob Miller's Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot, at www.overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.